This is the reading for March 20th, Psalm 79. God, nations have come against your chosen people. They have ruined your holy temple. They have turned Jerusalem into ruins. They have given the bodies of your servants as food to the wild birds. They have given the bodies of those who worship you to the wild animals. They have spilled blood like water all around Jerusalem. No one was left to bury the dead. We are a joke to the other nations. They laugh and make fun of us. Lord, how long will this last? Will you be angry forever? How long will your jealousy burn like a fire? Be angry with the nations that do not know you and with the kingdoms that do not honor you. They have gobbled up the people of Jacob and destroyed their land. Don't punish us for our past sins. Show your mercy to us soon because we are helpless. God, our Savior, help us so people will praise you. Save us and forgive our sins so people will honor you. Why should the nations say, "Where is their God?" Tell the other nations in our presence that you punish those who kill your servants. Hear the moans of the prisoners. Use your great power to save those sentenced to die. Repay those around us seven times over for their insults to you, Lord. We are your people, the sheep of your flock. We will thank you always, forever and ever. We will praise you. Deuteronomy 3. When we turned and went up the road toward Bashan, Og, king of Bashan, and all his army came out to fight us at Edrei. The Lord said to me, "Don't be afraid of Og, because I will hand him, his whole army, and his land over to you. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon." So the Lord our God gave us Og, king of Bashan, and all his army. We defeated them and left no one alive. Then we captured all of Og's cities, all 60 of them, and took the whole area of Argob, Og's kingdom in Bashan. All these were strong cities with high walls and gates with bars, and there were also many small towns with no walls. We completely destroyed them, just like the cities of Sihon, king of Heshbon. We killed all the men, women, and children, but we kept all the cattle and valuable things from the cities for ourselves. So at that time we took the land east of the Jordan River from the Arnon Ravine to Mount Hermon from these two Amorite kings. Hermon is called Sirion by the Sidonian people, but the Amorites call it Senir. We captured all the cities on the high plain and all of Gilead, and we took all of Bashan as far as Salakah and Edrei, towns in Og's kingdom of Bashan. Only Og, king of Bashan, was left of the few Rephaites. His bed was made of iron, and it was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. It is still in the Ammonite city of Rabbah. At that time, we took this land to be our own. I gave the people of Reuben and Gad the land from Aroer by the Arnon Ravine, as well as half of the mountain country of Gilead and the cities in it. To the people of East Manasseh I gave the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, the kingdom of Og. The area of Argob in Bashan is called the land of the Rephaites. Jair, a descendant of Manasseh, took the whole area of Argob all the way to the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites. So that land was named Jair, and even today Bashan is called the towns of Jair. I gave Gilead to Machir. I gave the Reubenites and the Gadites the land that begins at Gilead and goes from the Arnon Ravine. The middle of the Arnon is the border, to the Jabbok River, which is the Ammonite border. The border on the west was the Jordan River in the Jordan Valley, and it goes from Lake Galilee to the Dead Sea west of Mount Pisgah. At that time I gave you this command, "The Lord your God has given you this land as your own. Now your fighting men must take their weapons, and you must lead the other Israelites across the river. Your wives, your young children, and your cattle may stay here. I know you have many cattle, and they may stay here in the cities I have given you, until the Lord also gives your Israelite relatives a place to rest. They will receive the land of the Lord your God has given them on the other side of the Jordan River. After that, you may each return to the land I have given you." Then I gave this command to Joshua, "You have seen for yourself all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. The Lord will do the same thing to all the kingdoms where you are going. Don't be afraid of them, because the Lord your God will fight for you." Then I begged the Lord, "Lord God, you have begun to show me, your servant, how great you are. You have great strength, and no other God in heaven or on earth can do the powerful things you do. There is no other God like you. Please let me cross the Jordan River so that I may see the good land by the Jordan. I want to see the beautiful mountains in Lebanon." But the Lord was angry with me because of you, and he would not listen to me. The Lord said to me, "That's enough. Don't talk to me any more about it. Climb to the top of Mount Pisgah and look west, north, south, and east. You can look at the land, but you will not cross the Jordan River. Appoint Joshua and help him be brave and strong. He will lead the people across the river and give them the land that they are to inherit. But you can only look at it." So we stayed in the valley opposite Beth Peor. Deuteronomy 4. Now, Israel, listen to the laws and commands I will teach you. Obey them so that you will live and so that you will go over and take the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving to you. Don't add to these commands and don't leave anything out, but obey the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You have seen for yourselves what the Lord did at Baal Peor, how the Lord your God destroyed everyone among you who followed Baal and Peor. But all of you who continued following the Lord your God are still alive today. Look, I have taught you the laws and rules the Lord my God commanded me. Now you can obey the laws in the land you are entering, in the land you will take. Obey these laws carefully in order to show the other nations that you have wisdom and understanding. When they hear about these laws, they will say, "This great nation of Israel is wise and understanding. No other nation is as great as we are. Their gods do not come near them, but the Lord our God comes near when we pray to him. And no other nation has such good teachings and commands as those I am giving to you today. But be careful, watch out, and don't forget the things you have seen. Don't forget them as long as you live, but teach them to your children and grandchildren. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai. He said to me, 'Bring the people together so I can tell them what I have to say. Then they will respect me as long as they live in the land, and they will teach these things to their children.' When you came and stood at the bottom of the mountain, it blazed with fire that reached the sky, and black clouds made it very dark. The Lord spoke to you from the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you did not see him. There was only a voice. The Lord told you about his agreement, the Ten Commandments. He told you to obey them, and he wrote them on two stone tablets. Then the Lord commanded me to teach you the laws and rules that you must obey in the land you will take when you cross the Jordan River. Since the Lord spoke to you from the fire at Mount Sinai, but you did not see him, watch yourselves carefully. Don't sin by making idols of any kind, and don't make statues of men or women, of animals on earth, or birds that fly in the air, of anything that crawls on the ground, or of fish in the water below. When you look up at the sky, you see the sun, moon, and stars, and everything in the sky. But don't bow down and worship them, because the Lord your God has made these things for all people everywhere. But the Lord brought you out of Egypt, which tested you like a furnace for melting iron, and he made you his very own people as you are now. The Lord was angry with me because of you, and he swore that I would not cross the Jordan River to go into the good land the Lord your God is giving you as your own. I will die here in this land and not cross the Jordan, but you will soon go across and take that good land. Be careful. Don't forget the agreement of the Lord your God that he made with you, and don't make any idols for yourselves, as the Lord your God has commanded you not to do. The Lord your God is a jealous God, like a fire that burns things up. Even after you have lived in the land a long time and have had children and grandchildren, don't do evil things. Don't make any kind of idol, and don't do what the Lord your God says is evil, because that will make him angry. If you do, I ask heaven and earth to speak against you this day, that you will quickly be removed from this land that you are crossing the Jordan River to take. You will not live there long after that, but you will be completely destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the other nations. Only a few of you will be left alive, and those few will be in other nations where the Lord will send you. There you will worship gods made by people, gods made of wood and stone that cannot see, hear, eat, or smell. But even there you can look for the Lord your God, and you will find him if you look for him with your whole being. It will be hard when all these things happen to you, but after that you will come back to the Lord your God and obey him, because the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you. He will not forget the agreement with your ancestors which he swore to them. Nothing like this has ever happened before. Look at the past, long before you were even born. Go all the way back to when God made humans on the earth, and look from one end of heaven to the other. Nothing like this has ever been heard of. No other people have ever heard God speak from a fire and have still lived. But you have. No other God has ever taken for himself one nation out of another. But the Lord your God did this for you in Egypt right before your own eyes. He did it with tests, signs, miracles, war, and great sights by his great power and strength. He showed you things so you would know that the Lord is God and there is no other God besides him. He spoke to you from heaven to teach you. He showed you his great fire on earth and you heard him speak from the fire. Because the Lord loved your ancestors, he chose you, their descendants, and he brought you out of Egypt himself by his great strength. He forced nations out of their land ahead of you, nations that were bigger and stronger than you were. The Lord did this so he could bring you into their land and give it to you as your own, and this land is yours today. Know and believe today that the Lord is God. He is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other God. Obey his laws and commands that I am giving you today so that things will go well for you and your children. Then you will live a long time in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you forever. Moses chose three cities east of the Jordan River where a person who accidentally killed someone could go. If the person was not killed because of hatred, the murderer's life could be saved by running to one of these cities. These were the cities. Bezer in the desert high plain was for the Reubenites. Ramoth in Gilead was for the Gadites. And Golan in Bashan was for the Manassites. These are the teachings Moses gave to the people of Israel. They are the rules, commands, and laws he gave them when they came out of Egypt. They were in the valley near Beth Peor, east of the Jordan River, in the land of Sihon. Sihon, king of the Amorites, ruled in Heshbon and was defeated by Moses and the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. The Israelites took his land and the land of Og, king of Bashan, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River. This land went from Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Ravine to Mount Hermon. It included all the Jordan Valley east of the Jordan River, and it went as far as the Dead Sea below Mount Pisgah.
The Book of Luke.
My name is Luke. I accepted Christianity for myself and believed that it was for everyone. I accompanied Paul in his missionary travels and thus possess some valuable facts about Jesus' life and teachings. I am moved to write them down as a narrative of Jesus' life and to prove that Christianity is the true religion, especially to my friend Theophilus.
Chapter 1.
Many have attempted to write about what had taken place among us. They received their information from those who had been eyewitnesses and servants of God's word from the beginning, and they passed it on to us. I, too, have followed everything closely from the beginning, so I thought it would be a good idea to write an orderly account for your excellency, Theophilus. In this way, you will know that what you've been told is true. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the division of priests named after Abijah. Zechariah's wife Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth had God's approval. They followed all the Lord's commands and regulations perfectly, yet they never had any children because Elizabeth couldn't become pregnant. Both of them were too old to have children. Zechariah was on duty with his division of priests. As he served in God's presence, he was chosen by priestly custom to go into the Lord's temple to burn incense. All the people were praying outside while he was burning incense. Then, to the right of the incense altar, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Zechariah was troubled and overcome with fear. The angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and you will name him John. He will be your pride and joy, and many people will be glad that he was born. As far as the Lord is concerned, he will be a great man. He will never drink wine or any other liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring many people in Israel back to the Lord their God. He will go ahead of the Lord with the spirit and power that Elijah had. He will change parents' attitudes toward their children. He will change disobedient people so that they will accept the wisdom of those who have God's approval. In this way, he will prepare the people for their Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "What proof is there for this? I'm an old man, and my wife is beyond her childbearing years." The angel answered him, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. God sent me to tell you this good news, But because you didn't believe what I said, you will be unable to talk until the day this happens. Everything will come true at the right time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah. They were amazed that he was staying in the temple so long. When he did come out, he was unable to speak to them, so they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. He motioned to them, but remained unable to talk. When the days of his service were over, he went home. Later, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and didn't go out in public for 5 months. She said, "The Lord has done this for me now. He has removed my public disgrace." 6 months after Elizabeth had become pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee. The angel went to a virgin promised in marriage to a descendant of David named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel entered her home, he greeted her and said, "You are favored by the Lord. The Lord is with you." She was startled by what the angel said and tried to figure out what this greeting meant. The angel told her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will become pregnant, give birth to a son, and name him Jesus. He will be a great man and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. Your son will be king of Jacob's people forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be? I've never had sexual intercourse." The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy Child developing inside you will be called the Son of God. Elizabeth, your relative, is 6 months pregnant with a son in her old age. People said she couldn't have a child, but nothing is impossible for God." Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. Let everything you've said happen to me." Then the angel left her. Soon afterward, Mary hurried to a city in the mountain region of Judah. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting, she felt the baby kick. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She said in a loud voice, "You are the most blessed of all women, and blessed is the child that you will have. I feel blessed that the mother of my Lord is visiting me. As soon as I heard your greeting, I felt the baby jump for joy. You are blessed for believing that the Lord would keep his promise to you." Mary said, "My soul praises the Lord's greatness. My spirit finds its joy in God my Savior, because he has looked favorably on me, his humble servant. From now on, all people will call me blessed, because the Almighty has done great things to me. His name is holy. For those who fear him, his mercy lasts throughout every generation. He displayed his mighty power. He scattered those who think too highly of themselves. He pulled strong rulers from their thrones. He honored humble people. He fed hungry people with good food. He sent rich people away with nothing. He remembered to help his servant Israel forever. This is the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back home. When the time came for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very kind to her, and they shared her joy. When the child was 8 days old, they went to the temple to circumcise him. They were going to name him Zechariah after his father, but his mother spoke up, "Absolutely not. His name will be John." Their friend said to her, "But you don't have any relatives with that name." So they motioned to the baby's father to see what he wanted to name the child. Zechariah asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." Everyone was amazed. Suddenly Zechariah was able to speak, and he began to praise God. All their neighbors were filled with awe. Throughout the mountain region of Judea, people talked about everything that had happened. Everyone who heard about it seriously thought it over and asked, "What does the future hold for this child?" It was clear that the Lord was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise the Lord God of Israel. He has come to take care of his people and to set them free. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the family of his servant David. He made this promise through his holy prophets long ago. He promised to save us from our enemies and from the power of all who hate us. He has shown his mercy to our ancestors and remembered his holy promise, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham. He promised to rescue us from our enemies' power so that we could serve him without fear by being holy and honorable as long as we live. You, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go ahead of the Lord to prepare his way. You will make his people know that they can be saved through the forgiveness of their sins. A new day will dawn on us from above because our God is loving and merciful. He will give light to those who live in the dark and in death's shadow. He will guide us into the way of peace. The child John grew and became spiritually strong. He lived in the desert until the day he appeared to the people of Israel.